We are back in the we're
Yes.
having too much fun here. We're back in the car, two separate cars on Zoom. Just like the
Yes.
old days. A little Sunday chat that Brother Shane, this was your idea. You know, you're talking about kind of we just get together and kind of shoot the breeze a little bit. A lot going on. Kiss wrapping up their last show ever. And ooh, that was kind of emotional just watching some of the fan footage of it. But how you doing, man? I mean, I know you were posting about it too.
How are you holding up? You all right? Because I know it's a big deal.
Yeah, it was like the weird thing for me, and I wanted to go, but it wasn't really feasible. I mean, seeing them in Detroit was cool, but I really wanted to go. It just was like, you know, the logistics and all that and scheduling with other stuff going on. But, you know, what really got me was I go to Wikipedia, not that Wikipedia is really an accurate source on anything. And I saw it said Kiss was a band from New York City. And then it
Yeah.
listed even Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley as former members of the band. And that's
Wow.
when I started thinking, wow, this is really done, you know?
Do you think that was coming from them? Do you think that was like
I don't know. Maybe, or was it a, you know, because anybody can edit those things. It kind of made me wonder. And then of course the avatar thing kind of makes sense, but I thought, and I thought, God, yeah, Ace and Peter don't even get to come back as avatars.
No, it's Tommy and Eric.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, what
I
the
know.
heck?
I kept thinking that they were going to come out. I kept thinking that, you know, at the last minute they were going to work something out, but Ace wanted like $1 million to do it, which I knew that wasn't going to happen. Peter, he's 78 years old. I don't know if he could play. You know, he was grooving on, he did this little jazz thing, you know, like about a month ago or two or something, you know,
Right.
jamming with some guys, but you know, I don't know. But yeah, man, it was, and like you said, with some of the stuff going on, it just like, man, it was emotional. It was weird. It was like the end of something big. And I'm like, what just happened here? Like,
Yeah.
and I see Gene very emotional in an interview talking about it. And I got to find, you know, more of that footage is popping up, you know. What about you, man?
Well, I as you know, we talked about this already on the side, but it felt a little anticlimactic for me only because I'm an originals guy. Like I like the original four. I'm not knocking Eric, and I'm not certainly not knocking Tommy. They had a lot to the band, and I really like Monster and Psycho Circus, and but the most popular era of the band had Ace Frehley and Peter Criss in it. And I kind of felt like if you're going to go out, it's like the Rolling Stones going out without, you know, Keith and or something, you know what I mean? Like it's a big deal. People might not say that, but some people might not say that. But for me, Ace was my favorite and Gene was a very close second. And without the spaceman, I sort of felt like, man, he should have asked for $500,000.
Yeah, right. Over installments.
Yeah, like 250 now, 250 later.
Yeah.
And they probably would have done it. But $1 million's a little high. But
it's a bit much, yeah.
He's just done with it. He's had it. And as you know, you reported earlier in the year that they've been quarreling pretty much most of the first part of this year into the summer. And we had that famous Paul Stanley quote about, you know, why should we bring him back? I mean, then we would be called Piss.
Yeah.
And not geez. Kiss. And I knew right then, I mean, we knew before that from something else that we'll talk about, but I kind of felt like right then and there that it was over.
Yeah.
Any chances were shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was sad. And I thought that too. And it was sad because I thought, you know, there's no doubt in my, I mean, you know, there's, you, these guys play so many shows and you're going to have a bad show from time to time. Ace, there's video, Detroit Rock City, I guess the guitars were out of tune or something happened and, you know, whatever. But Ace has put out like album after album. 10,000 Volts is a solid single. It's awesome. You know, Kiss has had rough shows, you know. There might be a vocalist that steps away from the microphone and you still hear a vocal, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
But I had to think in my heart that if this was Ace and Peter, everybody knowing this would have been the last show, that those guys would have played their hearts out. You know,
yes, they would have.
the last time in makeup, the last time, period. You know, there's no reunion tour. There's no, you know, but maybe they couldn't do it because the Avatar, it would have messed up the Avatar thing launch after that. I don't know. But because there was this mysterious countdown on the KISS website, you know, going up down to midnight, right to the end of the show. And, you know, you can still do the KISS Avatar thing. It's a cool idea. I mean, Gene's saying it's the best show you'll ever see or best concert. I don't know about that, but his KISS is amazing. But something, three songs, you know, the original four. It's not a reunion tour. It's not a tour. It's just, you know, three or four songs, the guys in makeup. Come on, you know.
Right. Just,
I mean, even if somebody screwed up, if Peter messed up a little bit, who would get, I mean, you know, he messed up a little
bit. Who cares?
The opening track of when they first put the makeup on. He was a little bit off on that first show in June of 96 at Tiger Stadium. Nobody cared. I mean, you know, things happen, you know.
But, yes.
Oh my God, it would have been amazing. But
people like that genuine deal, Dave. They do.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see it. I think a lot of people got tickets in anticipation of seeing those two guys show up.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did. I'm not going to knock it. I love KISS. I love what they've done for rock and roll. I love the fact, I mean, they were my first. My brother used to record KISS songs on cassettes. That's what I would ask for Christmas. I would ask for blank cassettes, and my brother would record the KISS albums, and I'd sit in my room and listen to them. And that was my introduction to KISS. And then, of course, Phantom of the Park, you know, we all watched that live on television when it went down. They were bigger than the Beatles for us. They really were. And because we didn't even know who the Beatles really were. We're growing up in the sense of all that we cared about as kids was KISS. You know, you go to a fair, there'd be dart games and everything. All the prizes were KISS mirrors, posters, t-shirts, masks. Man, I wish I could have some of those right now.
I know, right?
Worth
wouldn't
a
that
ton.
Be something? Oh my God!
But Alcoin,
I know
Alcoin did an amazing job of marketing them, and KISS did an amazing job of capturing what, you know, true rock and roll is all about. And they also brought that circus atmosphere to it, you know, that psycho circus. But dude, I wish I could go back in time because it was so much fun, because we all hated disco and KISS was like the opposite of disco, and they were hard rock, that, you know, they were creatures from another planet. And that was a great time to grow up for music, I think. And that's what I feel like a little bit of that was missing over the weekend. But I'm really glad that they pulled it off. I'm happy for the band, all the guys in the band, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, God rest Eric Carr.
Yeah,
rest in peace. But
Mark St. John. Yep. Yeah.
Mark St. John, who I forgot in the post. Vinnie Vincent. It would have been cool to have everybody come out. Bruce. I was kind of surprised because they did that reunion in Las Vegas, and a lot of guys showed up. That they didn't pull that off live. I don't understand why. Because the band was more than just Gene and Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with Vinny, you're right. Like, was that the cancer benefit they did? It was Bruce and Ace and, Yeah, I know. It's weird because, like, I mean, Vinny had some legal stuff going on with Gene and the band, but I think that's been resolved. I mean, for Vinny not to come out for a song, you know, for a Lick It Up.
Something.
I mean, something.
War Machine. I Love It Loud or something.
Creatures. Yeah. I mean, for Bruce not to come out for, you know, like a Tears Are Falling or I don't know. It just was like, it really was, something was missing. And they were just going to go down to the end, Gene and Paul, with it being what it is. And look, not knocking them. We love these guys dearly, you know. What was it like for you to talk about, like, that first year you got into KISS, and I know you touched on it a little bit, but like what was that time like? I mean, what was the music scene like? What year was it when you kind of First embrace the earth.
Like 76, 77.
Oh man.
I was like 8 or 9, and I didn't know much about music. I remember like one of my first musical memories was hearing David Bowie's Fame with John Lennon on the radio. And my mom was driving my brother and I somewhere, and my brother started saying Shane, 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 Shane to the Fame part. And I was like, I don't know. My brother, I
you,
credit
you,
my
you know
brother.
That's a drop. We're going to isolate that and use that as a drop for the show.
Shane, Shane, Shane. My brother has everything to do with me liking music because I could have cared less. And when I saw how much he liked it, I don't know. I you know how you look up to a sibling. My brother was everything, and I just was like, man, I'm going to check this out. And I asked him, like, can I listen to some Kiss? And so I'd go in his room, and he had these big speakers, and he would put them on the floor, and I'd lay down on the carpet between the two speakers. He wouldn't turn it real loud, but it was like having headphones on, and he would play like Kiss and Boston and stuff like that, and Cheap Trick, a bunch of bands. But the band that I always remember, I don't remember the Fleetwood Macs and stuff when I was that little. I remembered Kiss. That was like, they were like action figures, dude. I mean,
yeah,
it was something. They were like, it was like a toy. It's very, very well done how they their concept of what they accomplished. It was an amazing concept, and they pulled it off so well. And to this day, their merchandising surpasses just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was brilliant. And Paul said, you know, in an interview, that Kiss is bigger than we are at this point. And that's why they're doing the AI move, but which we'll get into. But yeah, dude, yeah. It was such a fun time, Dave. I really wish you could have.
I know. Like,
I got originals in the yard sale, which is the first three albums. Now it goes for a ridiculous amount of money if it's in good shape. I sold mine because I got in trouble with some stuff when I was in high school, so I had to pay off some fines. And I sold mine. I still regret it because I'm like, oh my God, what an idiot. But I used to play the living crap out of that when I finally had my own copy, like I was around 10 or 11. And they go above time and space in the sense of, you know, Van Halen kind of did the same thing. It just had this appeal to you as a kid. It was tough. The music wasn't really complex. It was very simple. It was very easy to memorize the lyrics, you know, and get into it. And like, it was just that groove, you know, and the blood spitting and the fire. It was brilliant, man. It's like a damn circus. And it's the only way I can explain it. And it just drew us in. Every single person I knew, Dave, was a Kiss fanatic growing up. We all, at least in the 70s, that changed in the 80s. But everyone I knew, there wasn't a kid in my neighborhood that didn't like Kiss. I didn't have respect for him, you know, and had at least one or two albums for him.
Yeah. And you, 77, that was the pinnacle. That was like Love Gone. I think that year they sold out three nights at Madison Square Garden, same place where they closed it out last night. So wow. You came in right at the pinnacle, man. That's amazing. You came in right at the height.
Yeah, I came in a little before Love Gone with my brother. The album he used to play was Destroyer. So was that 75, 76?
76, yeah. Holy
And that was the album that I remember him telling me, like, the song was about a guy who was driving and trying to escape from something, and he ends up dying. Yeah. I remember that, and I was like, whoa.
Right?
What? He's trying to escape from the law? You know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the song, he bites it, you know? I was like, wow, man, that's cool. You know?
Yeah, that's rock and roll, man.
That's rock and roll. But the radio intro and the news and all that stuff, I was just like, yeah. They were such an important part of my childhood. I mean, I would say that Kiss and Star Wars were the two biggest things. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think it was later for me, like growing up in the Detroit area, you know, I always knew Detroit Rock City, and everybody knew the song, you know, Rock and Roll All Night. I mean, everybody knows that. But those are the only two songs I really knew. I didn't really get into them probably until like 2003. Well, I remember channel surfing in the 90s and I saw the Unplugged show. I didn't really get, yeah, but I didn't really get Kiss at the time, you know. And then when I started playing guitar, I bought some guitar strings from Guitar Center, and Ace Frehley was on the cover in makeup, which was a great tie-in for like the reunion era. But I was like, what the hell is this guy? What is this? I didn't know anything. I knew nothing really, you know. I think for as much as I love rock and roll at the time for the reunion, I missed it. I don't know. I was in Aerosmith. I loved Van Halen. That was my first band, but I didn't really get into Kiss. Well, there was the Brooklyn Bridge show when I first saw them on the VMAs. That was probably my first time seeing them live in makeup, but that was cool. But I didn't really embrace it until like 2003 when I got a chance to see them in concert. They had,
that's awesome.
It was the best, one of the best shows ever. Kiss, Aerosmith, Ted Nugent, Saliva. And it was a rescheduled show because the blackout of 2003 that happened, Kiss was supposed to play that night in Detroit and everything was canceled because there was no power. So my friend Megan, she had a ticket because somebody couldn't go. And they rescheduled it for September at Comerica Park, and which is still such a great ballpark. It was just 3 years old at the time. And I saw them and I was like, oh man, I'm blown away. And Peter was back for that tour because Aerosmith apparently wanted like three original Kiss members, and Ace was like, well, I'm done. They finished the last tour. Ace was out. So I missed Ace by that much. And that was, and I think that was Tommy's first tour as lead guitarist, or first year. I think his first show was Australia that year, but something like that. But it was
he
awesome.
Was amazing, right?
Yeah, he was amazing. He was great. I don't think a lot of people knew. I mean, Tommy's taller and thinner than Ace, you know, but I think he's taller. I haven't seen Tommy in person. Well, I mean, I haven't up close or any of those guys, but so maybe some people did think it was Ace, but it was still pretty cool. Peter came back and so I got to see three quarters of the original Kiss, which was awesome, but I was hooked ever since. And so I got literally 20 years of Kissdom right now this year, you know. I was doing a story in downtown Detroit right outside of Comerica Park, and I took a selfie like 20 years ago on this day. I actually took the picture a month ahead of time when I was down there, but I posted it on that day, and it was so cool. It was awesome. Dude.
That's a great story. I always forget, you know, when I always think like, oh yeah, Dave was in all that stuff when I was in all that stuff. Cause you automatically think, when you're talking about something or you're thinking about something, a lot of times you just automatically assume that other people lived kind of the same thing that you did.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I thought you got into them in the '80s and nineties, but I don't even think you were around.
Yeah, I was born in 82, so right. I was a creature of the night, but I didn't know it.
That was the same year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 82? The same year. Yeah, 82.
That's
yeah.
So awesome, dude.
Yeah, man.
I remember that we all walked away from Kiss when they did the disco thing. I loved it, but then I realized, like, I didn't care, but then I noticed a lot of my friends and stuff stopped liking them. Because it was like, yeah, they're wussies. They sold out, blah, blah, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there was other stuff coming out at the time that was harder, and everyone kind of gravitated towards it. And that was like the Priest stuff and the Maiden and Van Halen, of course. And the Stones had out Tattoo You, and everyone seemed to be evolving, and Kiss seemed to be devolving.
Yeah, like it was like changing, right?
They did the Elder, and a lot of us went out and got that, and we were like, I got it with birthday money, and I was really bummed. I was like, this sucks.
It's terrible.
This is awful. Like, what the heck? And then I got, not Dynasty. Dynasty, because Dynasty's still pretty good, but that was the beginning. I think it was Unmasked.
Yeah.
I bet my friend Bob and I got Unmasked at the mall when it came out, the day it came out. or that week. And we went home and I was like, dude, what is the deal? Like, I just like, I can't, I didn't like the synth and I
Shandy and Shandy Naked City. And yeah.
I was like, and then now when I listen to it, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool songs on here. I don't look at it the same way now as I did then, but everyone kind of evolved out of Kiss because they sold out. They really did. That's how right. we felt. It became a pop band.
Mm-hmm.
And then with them breaking up and Ace leaving and stuff, I think you knew something was going on. And then Peter left, and then they ended up putting out Creatures of the Night. And when I heard that, man, I got right back into it.
Yeah,
that was the hard. Album. Was like,
yeah.
I didn't tell a lot of people, but I was like, dude, I don't know if you've heard this, but this freaking album is absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and I didn't really know it was Vinny. Because there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Steve Ferris from Mr. Mister, is that the band or something? He was on, I think he played on a track, one or two, one, he did a solo. Rick Derringer's on it.
Yeah.
I know. Brian Adams, I don't think he played on it, but he co-wrote War Machine and another song, I want to say. I think it was War Machine. But yeah, it was a real, and Eddie Van Halen comes into the studio according to Gene and said, you know, things aren't working with Dave, you know, I'm bummed out. He wanted to join Kiss at the time.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, man, your name is Van Halen, stay in Van Halen, you know. So that was a real turning point, like in the creative process, you know, just a lot of stuff happening around the band, you know, just pretty wild, you know, like, to be in that room, you know, even when Eddie Van Halen just drops in, it's like, could you imagine?
I find that era of the band to be one of the most fascinating because technically at that point, with everything going to crap, that album should have been a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of my favorite albums from that band.
Yeah.
You know, now Lick It Up kind of went into that territory. It was a little bit of poppy metal, but at the time we all liked that as well. After that, I jumped ship and got into new wave and stuff like that. But I was already getting into that stuff around that time anyway. But so I really think it's cool that you like that era that I abandoned them on. I didn't like Animalize, all that stuff, Hot in the Shade, all that stuff.
I love 80s.
I was just like, I was a stuck up music fan at that point. I was like, what is this crap? And now I can listen to it. I mean, I wouldn't say that I still wouldn't say they're my top albums, but
sure,
because the 70s stuff is so damn good.
Oof,
but they were really successful in the 80s.
Yeah,
and, yeah, they were. But the makeup era.
Yeah, they there's a few songs I like on each record, like Exciter, A Million to One, and Lick It Up. The Lick It Up title track never really did much for me. It's an okay jam, you know, but like Exciter, A Million to One, you know, and then you get into like later in the era, I'll Fight Hell to Hold You, you know, Good Girl Gone Bad, you know, While the City Sleeps, Thrills in the Night. Somebody took that song and put some drums, like padded out the drums on it to make it heavier. And what Eric Carr, the Fox, rest in peace, what he brought to that band, God, we lost him the exact same day we lost Freddie Mercury, November the 24th, 91, I think, something like that. But but that era is just really heavy. And Paul singing, his voice, he was the falsetto, he was so up high. And there's a great, you know, speaking of Cobo Hall in Detroit, they did a live shoot of the 84 show there, and it's great, and they played a lot faster. I think it was Gene who wanted to play faster, wanted to play the songs faster. But so yeah, I kind of dug that, but that was after, you know what I mean, that was after I kind of got into the 70s stuff. So it was kind of funny, I was going back in time, you know, discovering it. But that's the magic of it, you know. It's so cool that you lived like the original era, you know, and you know, then I come in a little bit later or much later, and I go back in, and I just, but it's timeless, man, you know.
The 80s, what it would have been nice for these shows, which I wish they would have played tonight as well, Sunday night. It would have been cool if they would have done an eras like Taylor Swift does, like an eras
Yeah.
type. Like one
Right.
night do originals, the second night do 80s, the third night do 90s,
Yeah.
and then maybe a fourth night, a little bit of everything like they did last night.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that would have been a cooler approach for everybody. Like, so there are people that are fans of the different eras. I know
Yeah.
people that think that their 80s stuff is superior to the early stuff because they got a lot more technical and they got better players, and I know a lot of people that like the 90s material, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just something I was like, I just thought it lacked some of the inventiveness. I feel like if Doc and Sean were still around, those last shows would have been insane,
Oh, I know.
you
And
know.
they had the technology in the show is amazing. I mean,
Yeah.
the show did not change much from when they first started it. I thought it was going to be a lot different. From what I saw more footage of night one of MSG Friday night, I think it was. Or was it Saturday? Yeah.
Okay.
Something was it Friday night? The first night. And then I saw clips of last night's show, and it was the exact same thing I saw in October. And then like first time I saw any clip of the show was like in 2009 in Vancouver. The video. I was just YouTubing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a great show. They didn't really change the set list too much. I think they mixed it up a little bit towards the end, a little bit maybe. But with all of that, you know, to have like Ace on stage and Peter on stage, not just the archive footage of like Cadillac, Michigan and this and that, it would have been amazing because they all deserve to literally stand in those great spotlights and
Yes.
maybe something like a tribute to Eric. And I don't know, maybe they did this. I didn't see the whole show last night, but maybe they did something because I was going to do the pay-per-view thing, but I was busy doing other stuff. So I was kind of looking at it on my phone, you know, as people posted fan videos, you know, but like something like a memorial moment for Eric, a memorial moment for Mark, St. John, and just because Paul Stanley did say this was a celebration of the entire band of all eras, so
Yeah.
it would have been great. I don't know, it would have been cool, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, staying positive, just what are your thoughts on the new direction? Like, what are you excited? Or they have not ruled out making any more albums, have they? Or have they?
I don't believe they have. They ruled out doing any shows at that like that, you know. I don't think they entirely ruled out doing something not in makeup, you know, like the Kiss Cruise kind of stuff, you know. I think they'll probably maybe once in a while do something like that.
A residency,
Yeah,
maybe
like
in
well,
Vegas.
they were talking about that. That was something they ruled that Paul said he doesn't. I think it was Paul saying he just doesn't see that happening, especially with the Sphere. I mean, Kiss could easily. I read the next band doing the Sphere after the U2 residency is Phish, which is interesting. They're doing four nights and they've got a massive fan base, you know. But Kiss has the artwork, they have the video, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting the Avatar show. It'll be cool. I'll check it out, you know. I think it's already listed on a concert coming up.
Really?
Somebody, our buddy Mitch Lafon out of Canada, the great Mitch Lafon, he posted something, and I got to go back and look. But they said it was already listed. I want to say, was it May? Don't quote me on this. May 4th, something like that. But it's already listed for next year.
Wow.
So it'll be so. And I, so is that going to be like the Ronnie James Dio thing, hologram thing, something like that?
Don't know.
Because it can be anything, right? I mean, it can be a, you know, kind of like a pay-per-view thing. It can be a live stream, could be anything. But I don't know. I think people want the, I still think the live music is what people are gonna, you know, want because it's nothing like seeing it in person, you know. I'm excited for anything they do, but that's something I'm gonna miss, you know.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
they don't, yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
they've tapped a lot of veins.
Yeah.
You know, they did the archival stuff, then they had the ultimate archival stuff. They had the
Yeah.
coffin. I mean, I don't really honestly know what else they can do. They've tapped the bottom of the barrel with demos and unreleased material.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had any tracks in the can with Tommy and Eric. I'm not sure. I don't know what if there is another, like, if there are some tracks made during Monster or any of the albums before that. I guess not.
Yeah, I would wonder if there's, God, I mean, wouldn't there be, it would be amazing if there were, like, because, yeah, you got the Kissology or the Kiss box set from 2001 that came out. That had everything on it. It does make you wonder, if is there anything else? There is that Wicked Lester album. Did they ever put that out? That was the album Gene and Paul had right before Kiss. I don't know that they ever put that out. I don't
there were
think
tracks from it on the box set, the Kissology.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Not the full thing, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's tracks, but, yeah, it would be kind of crazy, you know, if there was, like, something, you know, with Ace and Peter, but I, and plus the legal fight, you know, to put that out, you know, would be, you know, I don't know. Yeah, but I think you're right. I mean, my favorite thing was back about, I think it was 2006 when they did the three or four volumes of the Kiss, all the concerts. Like the first one had like everything from like the black and white videos, you know, where they're playing like Deuce and Firehouse. And I mean, that looks so vintage, like black. You had the candelabra, the candles, and all that spooky stuff, the original Kiss logo. And and then you got like Live in Houston, you know, you got that stuff. And then you go into the volume two with Eric Carr coming in. And I think some of the stuff from Australia, I want to say, is on there. Detroit 84 is on there. I love that. I have those somewhere in storage. I love those, you know, that's just so much fun. But yeah, they kind of hit everything, you know. So I mean, it makes sense to do this, you know, Avatar thing. It definitely makes sense, you know, the AI world. I know you and I are both live music guys, and you know, there's nothing. It's just nothing like it, you know.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we talked to David Coverdale, earlier in the year. Like we said, you know, what are the plans? Are you going to tour? We know that you had problems with your voice. You know, you were ill. You lost your voice. And his attitude is, we're done. If I can't sing, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do lip syncing. I'm not going to do a show for fans just to do a show for the fans. I think it has to be the genuine article. And you take that and you take Kiss, which will pretty much do anything. It's kind of wild. I'm not saying that Kiss isn't playing their instruments, because I know they are, and I know they're singing. There have been some cases, but you know, if a guy's under the weather and they're you know, on a 300 date tour or whatever, they've been doing this tour for years. Do you cancel a show in in a town that's people pay good money to see you guys and blow it off because, you know, one guy's got the flu, or you just come out, go through it, maybe have a little bit of tape there to compliment, maybe do some different songs because that person isn't up to it that night. I don't have a problem with that. But AI thing's a little weird. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Other than, I guess it's going to be like a cartoon or something up on a screen, or the what's the run hologram type thing.
Like when they did it with Michael Jackson, Tupac, and Dio. Like, I think Dio, they did that for a while. I was thinking something like the Carl Palmer ELP kind of tribute. You know, I mean. Yeah. Maybe a limited run kind of thing, but I can't imagine them doing that for the next decade or so. You know, I think it would get old pretty quick, you know.
Maybe to show kids.
Yeah.
Maybe to show kids what it was like to go to a Kiss show.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing spectacle, but I don't know, man. I'm excited to see what they're going to do, because they do. Kiss has always been ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
I just feel like it'll be interesting to see what, you know, if they cross any lines, so to speak.
Yeah. I still think something acoustic, because even Ace came out on the Kiss Cruise and did an acoustic set, you know. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's, you know, once in a while. I don't know. I don't know if it would be a full con- it wouldn't really be a concert, but it's just something. Or Paul, I know Paul, he had the Soul Station project, R&B covers. He might do an album. Maybe he'll do an album. I mean, his voice is, you get older, the voice is, it's, you know, anybody, it's not going to be the same, you know. Not everybody's Rob Halford at 72 or something, and the voice is still there. You know, it happens. But I would love to see from some time to time, just seeing those guys doing an acoustic thing or a little electric kind of sound checky kind of stuff, you know, and just let that be it. Maybe a bar show or something. Cause I know they're going to miss, you know, they may not miss the boots and the equipment and all the gear and flying across the stage, but it would be cool to see something, you know, like an intimate Glenside, you know, what's that theater? The what's that theater called? We've been there. Where was our Ace?
The Keswick.
The Keswick. I guess something Wick is in my head. Yeah. Something like that. Something intimate would be very cool, you know.
It's one of my favorite shows that we've seen.
Oh, dude, that was
legendary. We've seen it a lot. But that band, that crack band that Ace put together back then.
Yeah.
And that show, for me, it was just as much of a puzzle piece and as good as Kiss was. And yeah, you know, Kiss had everything, you know, the glitter and the stuff shooting from the ceilings and all flying across the zip line and all that amazing stuff. But Ace, just seeing his guitar smoking, and him playing Shock Me and stuff and Rock Soldier, I was like, wow.
Yeah. And he's still doing it, man. And I'm excited for Ace. If you're Ace, it's like you are a founding member of Kiss. You're one of the most influential. You're one of the most influential guitarists of your time. You know, Kim Thayil, so many others, Mike McCready, so many others just grew up on Ace. His licks really kind of tied. They kind of wrapped everything up, I thought, and made those songs like that was like the layering, you know, like just pulled it all together.
Yeah.
And then you got your solo stuff in the 80s, which kicks ass, Fraley's Comet, you know. And then you come back for the reunion. And then he's got, what, 8 solo albums now? Like since, you know, the reunion? I mean, that's a hell of a body of work, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
The new single is absolutely popping.
It's a cruncher,
it's hard as nails. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited.
Happy for him.
Yeah, and he's got the guitarist from Trickster. They're friends. They work together on it. So he's always tweaked things a little bit. His origins, the covers that he did. I mean, and he's got a different – the sound's there, but it's the tone's a little different too. So, like, the guitar playing's there, but it's like a fresh – it's like what Eddie Van Halen kind of during the Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge era, the tone changed, right? You know, I think, didn't it, a little bit? It was a harder sound, but it was still the same skill set. So it's like a little bit different, but still the same. I love that.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
So I want to tear through all my Ace Frehley records now and just be like, yeah, let it play, man. You know,
I think he made out pretty good from all this, and I'm happy for him. It did end the, you know, if he would have continued in the direction that he was headed with the drugs and stuff, in the early 80s, that whole thing would have ended very badly.
And
you know, as Lydia said, you know, bringing up the Lydia Chris interview we did 2 summers ago, she basically was like, at a certain point, Peter and Ace were doing so much cocaine that, you know, it was completely out of control. And I kind of think we all were aware of it, you know, songs like Slow Snowblind and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are kind of a good inkling of, oh, gee, what's going on? But at the time, you know, you're a kid, you don't know that. But
did I ever tell you I used that song on air one time? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry, it just came to mind.
No,
I was on Good Day Philadelphia. Sorry, folks over there. No, I didn't really. I mean, I wasn't talking about the drug reference, but it was we were on air and it was a blizzard out, and I said, "Man, it's like the Ace Frehley song Snowblind out here. I'm snowblind out here." But I wasn't going for a drug reference. And one guy tweeted at me saying something like, yeah, I was half awake or something. And kind of, you know, I hear you on the news saying Ace Frehley snowblind. And I'm like, whoa. So I
oh, my resist, God.
But I wasn't going for a drug reference. I was like, you know, so say no to drugs, kids. But yes to Kiss.
Just say no. Yeah, all the children in the Delaware Valley were doing coke after now.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's a great story.
That story came to mind.
I wish I would have heard that. I would have gone nuts.
Oh, I know. You would have loved it. It was like one of the morning. Yeah, it was like when I was on the morning show. Oh, my God.
That's one of those things that we need on tape.
I know.
For the show.
Like Stern, you know, Stern cuts into new, you know, plays clips of newscasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so pleased at what they have accomplished.
And, oh my God.
You know, I don't so think awesome. There are too many bands that have accomplished this much. And I think only the Stones probably would be above them for longevity and being relative, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people have abandoned Kiss, you know, a lot of the original fans, you know, a lot of people slag them off as being stupid, comic book like, this, that, and the other. You always see the comments. But in all honesty, I mean, Ace has influenced a generation of guitarists, and that generation of guitarists has influenced another generation of guitarists.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone from Marty Friedman to Tom Morello to Jeff Tate to you name it in the rock and roll world. Many of the guys that we follow and many of the people we've had on our show have all expressed how Kiss was such an important band to them.
Yeah.
And even Rush has come out more recently, and you know, Gene helped Geddy with his bass, you know, teaching him bass, you know, how to be more effective a bass player, and a lot of people made fun of that, but Geddy verified it. And Rush had a really beautiful thank you Saturday night yesterday.
They really did. That was moving. That was really moving. Yeah. Because you wouldn't have painted, you wouldn't have thought about that connection, you know, until they, you know, Geddy said that, or until they said that, you know.
I'm like, who was the moron that put Rush with Kiss?
I know,
but it actually works. It's actually great. I actually think that was now when I think about it, I'm like, where was I? I was 10.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But man, what a show that must have been,
right? I mean,
my God,
that would have been insane, man. Right, like. Whew, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Because you have an extremely proficient prog metal, prog rock band, probably one of the greatest of all time. Three piece with three of the best, you know, instrumentalists in the world. And then you have Kiss, which is more of a straightforward rock and roll, simple lyrics, easier riffs, and a circus type atmosphere, and they put them together. Yeah. But Rush was getting big at the time, and that when they toured with Kiss, that blew Rush into the stratosphere. That's one of the reasons why Rush got so big, and that's why they thanked them, because they touring's everything, man.
Oh yeah, man! What a
once
bill.
People see how good you are, they're going to rush out and buy the records.
Yeah. No pun intended.
But yeah, if that would be one of the first things I would have done, you know, as a rock and roll time traveler, is get in the time machine and go back to when and catch like maybe an East Coast string of dates with Rush and Kiss in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh my God, wouldn't that be? Yeah. Oh man. Wouldn't that be something for an Avatar show? Maybe they can reenact the shows like that. There's an Avatar Rush or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they still have, they're all intelligent people. They're all accomplished musicians. I know that every single one of them still has an album in them.
Yeah.
Peter, Eric Singer, everyone included. I think,
Yeah.
I hope that they keep making music for the fans. And it's a sad time for Kiss
Yeah.
fans. It really is. It's bittersweet because the selfish party wants them to go on forever, but the
Yeah.
realistic side of you realizes that they can't. They're old,
Yeah.
they're tired. Everyone has to put down, their instrument at some point.
Yeah. Yeah,
Is
I think
that a
Ace.
tour?
What's that?
No, just touring takes so much out of you.
Yeah.
Now shut
Oh,
up.
yeah. No, you're good. No, I was listening. No, just
No, I
to your
blab.
point. No, dude, your insights are fantastic. Always fantastic, man. No, the Ace was on Eddie Trunk the other day and said that he talked to Peter about a month ago, and Peter was working on a solo album, apparently. So. That means Peter's not, I mean, 'cause I thought he had retired. He did that show at the Cutting Room in New York. Well, God, 8 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
But I think he's so that'll be cool to have Peter do something. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think they all have at least an album in them, and it would be great. And I think you said it so beautifully, like you want them to go on. There is a selfish part. You want them to go on forever, but the human, you just can't do it at a certain level. I mean, and the gear they wear, the major pounds of gear, was it 10, 15 pounds of stuff they're wearing at night,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you do that at that age,
God of Thunder
Yeah, and rock and
and Rock and
roll.
Roll.
Yeah. The spell you're under. Oh man. I love
But
it, man. I love it.
I'm wondering what band people gravitate to now
Yeah.
for that kind of stuff. I mean, there are a few out there. I was trying to think of bands that wear makeup. Insane Clown Posse is still pretty popular. They're from Detroit.
Yes, yeah. Slipknot still, I think they're still doing, didn't they put an album out recently? I think they're still doing something.
Yeah.
I know they got a new, they have a drummer situation, but they're gonna still do some things. Yeah, I don't know who's, that's the car stopping right there, the automatic stop. Yeah, I know. I mean, it makes you wonder, like, who would be next? Lord, I mean, Gwar, they're kind of, are they, maybe a
Yeah.
Gwar? Lordy's pretty good. I saw them at Ozfest years ago. I don't know
Yeah.
if they're still around though.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll be surprised to see. I don't really see any bands that are I can fill those shoes right now. I think we go for a Kiss is Kiss. They're in a field in a class by themselves. That's how I always kind of look at them. And I think that's a good thing,
Yeah, totally.
But
I think you're right. Like I mean, they built that. I mean, Alice Cooper, but they built. Oh my! I mean, when you step back and you just like, I was thinking if you and I were there, blessed enough to do like post-show interviews, like Gene and Paul come off the stage, and they do a little scrum or they come over to us for a few minutes. I don't think I could have gotten through it,
yeah.
I don't I think I would have been pretty emotional,
Yeah.
because I was feeling some type of way that night. It's like, I'm a Michigan State fan, of course, but Michigan, my sister went to Michigan, so we were watching right when Michigan won the Big Ten title, still
Sure.
undefeated, and going up against Alabama, I think at the college football playoff. Elation, for the state of Michigan, but then this great sadness because the final Kiss concert wrapped up at roughly the same time. And I'm just like this weird sort of divide. You know what I mean? This
Yeah.
weird divide of emotions and a lot. What a big night in so many ways. But yeah, man, I'm just the old, cry, smile because it happened. I'm definitely smiling because it happened. But I'm like, oh, I can't imagine it with that,
Yeah. I'll bring this into it only because it kind of relates to what I was going through over the weekend. But as we were talking earlier today, a bunch of college buddies and high school buddies, we got together, and we talked about it back in May or June when tickets went on sale, but we always talk about stuff and we never do it. And I think we're all in that point of part of life right now, our mid-50s, where we're realizing, like, if you don't do something, you're never going to do it.
Right.
And so we decided to go to this Darker Waves Festival in Huntington Beach, California. I posted a whole bunch of crap about it on our Facebook page. Hopefully I didn't drive too many of the metalheads crazy. But
no, it was great, dude.
I feel like it was something very special in the sense that you realize that we're all getting older and this stuff isn't going to go in reverse. And I was very, very appreciative of getting a chance to do that. I would love to do it again. We talked about it already. If, you know, if they do it again, we'll probably go. Only because that scene, as well as the metal scene, are very special scenes, because metalheads are a really cool tribe, and new wavers are a very cool tribe as well. And Kiss fans are their own tribe, you know?
Yeah.
And, but just getting a chance to, because some of the bands, I mean, the Psychedelic Furs lost somebody the night after they played.
Wow.
You know, that's where we are now. These guys are not, we're not getting younger anymore. And we just lost two and really crucial integral parts of two of the best bands from the '80s, Jordy from Killing Joke and Shane McGowan of the Pogues. And that's what's, you know, that's why I'm not taking anything for granted anymore. I just, no. I'm full on appreciation mode.
Yeah.
And I, as much as, you know, I say this and that about Kiss right now, wish it could have been this, I wish it could have been that, I appreciate them more than anything. I really do. And yeah. I'm so grateful that we got to see them in, yep, 2012.
That was awesome.
It's still one of my favorite shows.
Me too.
And Drew, oh man. Because a little kid, I just turned into a little kid. And I always wondered, like, because I was too young to see the original batch. And in the 80s, I didn't really care. In the 90s, I was into other stuff, you know. And when it finally came around to, I had an opportunity and you asked me and we went, I was so glad I did. I don't know if I was acting that way that night, but that's exactly how
you were. Yeah. You
in Huntington Beach, I turned into a 16 year old again.
Yeah. You get those drugs.
And that's important for people to do, man.
Yeah. I remember when
you really got to do that.
Yeah. Was it drumsticks you bought? What was that you bought?
I got drumsticks. I got a sweatshirt.
Yeah. I was excited, man. That was so cool.
All this, I got a bunch of stuff. I don't sit on your couch. These bands are going away faster than you can blink an eye. If you haven't seen the Stones and you think about wanting to see the Stones, go see the Stones. Don't wait. Oh,
we already lost Charlie. Because
we've already lost, you know, two Stones.
Yeah.
And we've already lost several Kiss members, you know, so, you know, don't hesitate. That's my one thing, is life is way too short. And it's a beautiful thing that these bands are doing.
Yeah.
And that one night, you feel like that past glory, you know, that
I'm
16 again.
Yeah. And you're on a high. I'm on a post-concert high these days for a lot longer than just maybe a few days, you know, and then you go to the next show.
Yeah.
I was on a post-Kiss high for probably a month.
Yeah.
But talk about, because it was such a huge loss. You know, I'll admit, unfortunately, I wasn't as familiar with the Pogues. I mean, I knew a little bit of this stuff, but talk about, you know, if you want, you know, Shane,
absolutely,
just what that meant. Because, I mean, the tributes that were coming in were stunning. They were coming from everywhere. You too had a beautiful tribute. I mean, monster rock band, you know, because I know you really. You touched on that and it hit you hard. Do you mind talking a little bit about
Absolutely, Dave. A lot of people assumed that the Pogues were doing traditional Irish music. There were traditional Irish songs in Pogues sets live, and there were songs on B-sides and on the records. But what a lot of people don't know is that Shane McGowan wrote a lot of the lyrics to the Pogues songs.
Mm.
And as Joe Strummer said, and as Springsteen said, and as Bono said, and Gavin Friday and Tom Waits, Shane was a went to England for high level writing because he was so smart. From basically, you know, he was living in a shack in Ireland with no electricity. He got accepted and went to England, and there was a lot of anti-Irish sentiment in England at the time, and Shane weathered that. And but it made him love being Irish even more when he was there. Mm. Trying not to lose it here, but as Jeff Tate actually posted, one of the most brilliant things, I can read part of it.
Yeah.
Jeff was said he was crying when he read it, and I did as well. But he really was an amazing writer. And Springsteen said, you know, heck, a lot of my songs are going to be in the wind, but these songs are going to last forever.
Wow.
And you don't realize, again, like what you're missing until it's gone. And I'm going back and looking at some of these lyrics over the course of the week and the weekend. And I'm like, my God, this stuff's brilliant. You know, yeah. And you were humming it and singing along to it. But at the time, they were just lyrics. And then when you start seeing what the meanings were, some of them, and some of them were very complex, you know, almost like James Joyce, you know, for lack of comparison. But Nick Cave, in an interview this week, reveled, and he's like, I didn't understand a lot of the songs, and then I did. And when he did, he was like, wow.
Mm.
Shane was not a looker. Shane was he liked to drink, and unfortunately it's probably contributed to his early death, because he was drinking from what I read, like at the age of 5.
Oh, wow.
Whew. You know, he was drinking beers when he was 5 years old. Wow. So that for him was like a Coke or water. Right, right. You know?
Yeah.
But every picture, if you go online and look, practically every time you see a picture of Shane McGowan, he's got a drink in his hand.
Mm.
You know, post-gig, pre-gig, during the gig, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we get some Irish stars, some bands that shine through the darkness here in the next few years, because we lost two of the brightest this past year, Sinead O'Connor and Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
And I don't throw around genius, but they're Joni Mitchell level, you know?
Yeah.
They really were.
Yeah. And we lost Dolores from the Cranberries, you know, 2-3 years ago. So it's like, you're right. There's been a lot of, I mean, incredible Irish musicians that are no longer with us. And yeah, those are heavy losses. Yeah.
The thing that was really interesting about the Pogues, Dave, is that when he went back to Ireland, he was filled with some of the rage and being treated like crap, you know, the anti-Irish sentiment in England and racism. When he went back to Ireland, he took a lot of that rage and turned it into punk music. He was in a band called the Nipple Erectors, or the Nips, as they were called affectionately. And they're fantastic as well. If you ever get a chance, check those guys out. They were that was just pure punk with him screeching, yelling, yelping, doing whatever. But then he wanted to do something a little more traditional and go to his roots because he loved that so much. And they formed the Pogues, and Elvis Costello produced their first record. And they became bigger and bigger and bigger in the '80s. And then they fell apart because of drugs and drink and stuff like that. Mm. And they, he formed a band, Shane McGowan and the Popes, and he recorded some stuff with Nick Cave and Sinead O'Connor. He and Tom Waits were always they were long friends for years. I don't think they ever did anything together. I might be wrong on that, but who knows? It might come out. But he took the Irish aesthetic and brought it into punk, and it worked really, really well.
Wow.
And now we have bands like Dropkick Murphys and Flogging Molly, and the list goes on and on, of these Celtic type punk bands that they mash so well.
Yeah.
And it's really neat. It's really something. They created something really special. They really did. Man. Joe Strummer replaced him in the Pogues after he quit. And Joe did one album with him before he died with them. Wow. And still pretty good, but it's not as good as Shane's stuff.
Right.
Because it was Joe Strummer of the Clash running the Pogues.
Yeah.
But, that's insane, but it was like, man. Hey, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But yeah, check them out. If you ever like, Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey just recorded "Fairy Tale of New York" for their Eagles Christmas album.
Yeah,
and reportedly Shane was aware of it.
Wow,
he gave it the thumbs up. He was real happy that they did that.
That's awesome.
Those good Irish American football players.
Yep,
fan tribute. Right. They changed the lyrics around to fit their needs. You know, the Eagles and Chiefs and stuff, but yeah. but good for them. I mean, good for him. He had an incredible life, and he shouldn't have. You know, he was really came from a very destitute background, and you know, he was surrounded with alcoholism. And it became him, unfortunately. Like a lot of people, when it's ingrained into you at that young of an age, it's kind of hard to escape.
Yeah. Yeah. How could you? I mean, that's first thing you know, almost from first breath, you know? Right? I mean,
yeah.
Jeez. I didn't realize all that. My gosh. But what a talent. But, what a legend.
And the article that Jeff Tate posted, I didn't know this. Shane had a breakdown from being taunted and treated so poorly in England that he fell apart, and he ended up getting electroshock therapy and everything when he was there, because they didn't know how to treat him. They don't, you know, this was back in the late 70s, early 80s. And, but the thing about his music, Dave, is the heart in the songs definitely appeals to me as a, you know, I have a Scottish background, but just that heart that's in the music.
Yeah.
That's hard to capture. And he really does.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he writes, you can almost taste it. And every song, I like to say every song that the Pogues did was like a book, because it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Characters, stuff that dealt with the church, stuff that dealt with Ireland, stuff that dealt with the Troubles. Bono was a big fan. Springsteen adored him.
Yeah.
U2 just played a tribute to him last night.
You don't get to be much bigger than that when U2 and Springsteen and Jeff Tate and people like that are paying tribute. Man, oh right? Man.
Yeah, it makes your hair stand up.
Oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps. I'm just like, you know.
And Jordy from Killing Joke, one of the most important post-punk guitarists that ever lived, I think. I think his sound is heard in so many bands, from Metallica to Ministry to Nine Inch Nails to you name it. Tool took him on a tour.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was like
out of respect. That was a cool move that Tool did. Was it?
Yeah,
Tool took Killing Joke on tour with them, just in the last few years.
Yeah,
because
the Wells Fargo show, that was great. Oh my God, that was awesome.
I wish I would have seen him. Damn it.
You know, it was like Larry and I went. It was like, wow, man. And I didn't.
Larry still calls me about that.
I didn't know Larry, a former coworker, well, current coworker. Shane's a former of mine. Great guy, Larry. I didn't, and I did no Killing Joke, so that exposed me, you know, because I'm a huge Tool fan, but you know, that really exposed me and got me into it, man.
Yeah. And I think that was a really nice thing to do. And I love when bands do that. Foo Fighters did it as well.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl's a big fan, as were Nirvana, Melvins, and you name it. But that he had a guitar sound that was, wow. I don't even know how it was so, it was like a buzzsaw in a way. Just had a really nice, really amazing sound to it. And his tone was from another planet. And every song almost had that tone in it.
Yeah.
And you knew, like, even if you're like, if the singer wasn't sounding the same, which he did in the later years, his voice started to change. You could always tell it was Killing Joke from Jordy's guitars.
Yeah.
Because you have them layered.
Mm.
I've been playing them the crap out of them all week.
Nice. Yeah. It's what it that's I'm gonna play some of that too, man. It's the way to celebrate.
Yeah. Man. They were the band one of the bands that really got me into punk.
Wow.
So their first album, their second album, their third album, and Nighttime, which had the song 80s on it, which was a big MTV hit. Because they were making fun of the commercialism and consumerism of the 80s. And MTV just ate it up and put it on. And actually, they're making fun of MTV and everything about MTV and everything else. But it was a hit.
Yeah.
And LA, they played the crap out of it. And I was really hoping that next year, if there was a Darker Waves, that Killing Joke would have been playing it. But that doesn't look like it's going to be the case now.
Damn. And do they do that festival? They did it in Chicago too, or no? Or is that
just one show and
wow
in California? Yeah.
Oh man. I gotta go to that.
Just what a road trip
yeah,
you
just,
guys had.
Yeah.
Just for the folks who don't know about it, it was just I'll just do a quick laundry list. It'd be very quick. But it was New Order, Echo and the Bunnymen, B-52s, Psychedelic Furs. Tears for Fears was the main headliner. She Wants Revenge, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Devo, Violent Femmes, Cold Cave, Twin Tribes, Chameleons, True Sounds of Liberty, or TSOL, punk fans probably know, English Beat, 45 Grave, Clan of Xymox, and your band, The Cardigans.
Yeah, that's right.
They reunited and played their first show for the first time in 14 years.
Wow.
At that festival. Man, man. And there's a whole bunch of other bands, smaller bands.
Yeah.
Needed to be 2 days, though.
Oh, my
running
God.
We're running back and forth from stage to stage trying to yeah. catch stuff. And it was so tightly scheduled that we just had to miss stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a bummer, but wow.
Man, I'm glad you got to go, my brother. You saw the Human League sound check, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that band, dude. Oh my God. That's
they awesome. Were fantastic. He sounded amazing.
Philip. Oh my God.
If you like the Human League, which I do, they did like five or six songs, and there are all these people from at our hotel standing on the steps, and there's this bridge, and everyone was just like, and there was like a highway underneath this with maybe a car every couple minutes. And it was super, super quiet. And they were playing on that first small stage there. And man, he killed it.
Yeah.
He sounded just like he did in the 80s, really. I thought his voice sounded tremendous and the band sounded great. Even the girls sounded good. And they played Human. They ended with Human. That was the last song they rehearsed.
I dig that song. I love that song. Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, man.
Yeah. Minneapolis, baby.
Yeah, that's right. You know it, my
Prince's
brother.
Band.
Yeah.
From the time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They just got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, didn't they?
They did. I think so, yeah. Well deserved. Yeah. Well overdue. I mean, long overdue. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So I don't know. It's just been so much going on. We haven't done this in so long. We could talk forever.
I know. The Sunday sessions or whatever we call this. Yeah, I love it.
What are you excited about for 2024? I know one thing you're going to be excited about, and that's Bruce Dickinson's solo album. What are you thinking of that?
I love it. I was just playing the latest, and I can't remember the title, song,
Afterglow of Ragnarok.
That's it. Yeah, it's interesting. The video's pretty wild. It's got a very futuristic kind of Star Wars-ish feel, kind of, I don't know what else to call it. Yeah, it's a great song. Roy Z production. I mean, Roy Z is this phenomenal guitarist. He did some stuff with a lot of Bruce Dickinson's solo stuff from the early 2000s, I want to say. He worked with him on. So I think that album with Abduction, that song that's from like the mid-2000s, that was a great somewhere in there. That was a great collaboration. Roy Z's worked with, I want to say, Rob Halford. He worked with, he's got a very unique sound and production. And Bruce's voice is phenomenal. He's older in the video. He looks, he's older in person, but but wow, it's all there and it's great. I'm excited for that record. Ace's new record, Judas Priest, Invincible Shield, March 8th, 2024. They just dropped a new video for Trial by Fire. You see Glenn playing guitar. It's great to see, he's on the album despite, that tremendous fight with Parkinson's. He is the never surrender. He's that rock soldier. Richie's riffs. Richie kind of hinted to the title of it, I think, on this show that time.
Yeah.
I was like, wow,
Yeah.
And then, of course, some of the albums that came out later this year, Don Dawkins' new record, Heaven Comes Down, he's going to be doing videos. He said on the show that he's going to be doing videos for every single. KK's Priest, they got a new video coming up. The Sinner Rides Again is just a great, great album. So 2024 is going to be awesome,
Saxon record, new Saxon record.
Yeah, man. What do you think about that? Tell me about it.
I was like, wow. I mean, they're back with Andy again, Andy Sneap, which is he's basically Judas Priest at this point. But Andy produced a new Saxon record, and Biff sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really does. It's a thumper, and only one song's been released so far. The thing that's really cool about Bruce, by the way, I think this solo album, unlike a lot of his other stuff, sounding more like an Iron Maiden record, which excites me to death.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. Hang on, what's the album called? The Mandrake Project.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was 20 years since his last solo record, but. The new song, the Ragnarok song, clocks in at over 8 minutes too.
Yeah. It's another. Yeah. The video's an epic. Yeah.
It's like, was Bruce ever do anything in the 4 minute range? But that's Bruce likes that prog, he's a storyteller and he likes fantasy. And it doesn't work for most bands. It works for Bruce.
Yeah,
but nothing will excite me in the metal world as much as the new Priest record, of course.
Oh, dude, I'm so pumped! I'm so pumped for that.
Yeah, I what we've heard so far, was it two singles now been released?
Yep. Trial by Fire and Panic Attack. That keyboard to synth, the intro, very turbo, and
my son's words, holy crap!
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he dug it.
Yeah,
he's
a big Richie fan, and he's a big KK fan, and he's, if you look on our playlist, our Spotify playlist, over the last year, because we got our Spotify, like that list, all the lists.
The Wrapped, yeah, yeah.
Spotify and I'm looking Wrapped. On there, because I usually go towards the punk and stuff when I'm driving and to work and stuff, and every other song on the... like from 20 to 40 on the list was Priest. And that's him. That's him. So I'm like,
yeah,
I did something right.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. I love it.
So that's really exciting. And I'm really happy for Priest to still be making music. And Rob sounds better than ever, as usual. I don't know how that man does it.
I don't know.
I really don't.
A lot of tea, maybe.
A lot of tea.
It was
Yeah,
on
we
David
asked him about that
Coverdale.
once.
Yeah, we did. That's right.
But I think metal is healthy now, don't you? Don't you feel
I
like
do.
it's
Yeah.
back? Like it really
Yep.
is. Like pro wrestling, it's
Yep.
back more than ever. And how exciting is that? Just from, because I met a guy in California as well. He's just like me. We're talking about New Wave, and then he goes, "What other shows do you see?" And I'm like, "Oh, I see everything." He's like, "Because I really like metal too." And I'm like, then we talk for another half
Oh,
hour.
that's great. God bless, man. Yeah.
He
Yeah,
was like the
it's a Oh,
ultimate
sorry.
metal and Kiss fan, so it was kind of
Yeah.
neat to pick his brain
Yeah.
because you couldn't like both in the 80s, Dave. You had to like one or the other.
Really? Oh, man.
Yep.
Two different
Oh yeah.
worlds.
You had your metal heads, you had your wavers. There was no intermingling.
Wow.
There might have been sexual relations with, but that's it.
But yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, metal is a great place, and I think so many younger fans too, and I love these YouTube videos. You see these young guys and gals playing, shredding these solos, and our favorite drummer Buckets that's doing like tributes, and and there's another guy and I can't think of his name, but everyone, you've seen him. I think he's the is he the Groove Father, big bearded guy. He's
From
a
Spain?
beast. He lifts
Yeah.
weights. He did just with two or three drums, like he does these covers and
Yeah.
these little things, and it's like,
I still
that
haven't figured
guy's
out
a
his name
beast.
yet.
I know,
Ed
I know.
Eduardo something or other.
But he's amazing. He's
His
insane,
he plays triple bass drums and it's just like what?
How is he doing? Yeah, and then I'll have a little cup of coffee or cup of tea or something, and with one hand, and he's drinking that, and he's playing the. Doing the one hand, the mega one-handed rolls. Like, what the hell?
All those
It's
little
just,
things and big things that are making that scene so much more popular, and it's I think it's a good thing. It's a release. It's much needed. Really, it's really wild to see bands like Carcass and Overkill posting their numbers on Spotify for the year. Like 12 million streams, 23 million streams. I think Overkill was 200 million streams. I mean, that's some
That's
serious.
those are the
That's
new
great.
numbers. Yeah, that's where the industry is now. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
awesome.
Bad
I'm
Company, same thing. All these bands like that you thought were are back.
yeah
People
yep
like their music hard, man. They're tired of this pop shit.
They're ready to rock. They want to rock, baby. Woo,
They want the real stuff. So I hope Kiss's AI pays off. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it'd be fun to watch, and but I just hope they're not strangers. I mean, I understand the big traditional Kiss shows, those are done, but I would love, I just hope they're not strangers to some sort of stage. Like I said, it may be something intimate, or maybe it's just Paul, or maybe it's just Gene, or maybe it's Paul and
Yeah.
friends, or Paul did that solo tour in '89, with just a few clubs, so. Something, just I'd love to see those guys in some form again, just a little something, be so cool.
I'm sure 2024 will bring something.
Something,
What would be really cool for Gene to do would be Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters and Nirvana really wanted to do a metal record, but he can't sing metal. He's not a metal singer. And so what he did was he got 10 or 12 of the top metal singers or his favorite singers of bands that he loved at the time, like Lemmy. And Phil and some other people, King Diamond, and he put out an album with his music that he did with them, and they sing on it. And it was called Probot, and it was really,
Oh
really
yeah.
good,
Nice.
amazingly.
I do remember
But
that about
every
that,
song
yeah.
has a different singer on it. What would be really cool if Gene would do would be something like that, where he plays with Overkill on a track and plays with Metallica on a track, but he sings, or whatever. That would be really, it would be neat to hear Gene's voice in another kind of arrangement, especially in a hard one.
That'd be, yeah.
We don't
He's the
need
God of
Disney
Thunder.
songs and stuff like that. We need, We need the king. We need the demon.
No, when you wish upon a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you... I remember listening to that. I was like, what? I liked it as a kid, but it was like, it was what the...
Yeah, I know. But
we need the rocking gene, that metal gene.
Yes.
One last ride.
Yes. We gotta.
We'll
have
keep
it.
Trying to get them.
We will. We will.
Yeah.
Keep, hey, Gene. Hey. How about this? How about this? You know.
But it's just 2024 is going to be a fun year because we got the Stones announced a huge tour.
Yeah.
Sammy Hagar announced a huge tour, where he's going to be playing with Joe Satriani, Michael Anthony, and Jason Bonham. We were a bit of a part of that. You know, you yep. with that mighty question, and we went along for the ride.
Yeah, we had a good run. We had a really good.
And it's finally coming to fruition. It's a shame that Alex is not involved.
Yeah.
But I think Sammy's just at this point, like, I got to take the chains off. We got to do these songs because I wrote these songs, and I want to perform these songs. And by God, I'm going to do it. And I'm glad. I'm glad he's doing that.
Right.
It's a shame Absolutely. That David Lee can't come along for the ride, but apparently he already botched that up. I don't know.
Yeah, that blew up before. that ship
I mean, that
before.
Lasted, what, 12 hours?
I know. It was like just...
What the heck?
He must
have said something or some Sammy's ridiculous like, figure.
Yeah. Right. Sammy's like, I'm not doing that again. If he wanted to come out and sing a song, if he remembers the words, I'm like, oh, boy.
Because what initially it's he said he... Dave, come on out.
Yeah.
Join
right.
Us.
He said that on the Stern Show. Yeah. And then Sammy said, and then Dave said, I'm in. Let's do it. And then, you know, I guess a fan asked Sammy on Instagram something about more about it. And he's like, you know, not for a whole tour. I know better than that because, you know, they did that whole thing in 2002, the Sam and Dave tour, which blew up. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man. That seemed a little too good to be true. It really
right.
did. It really did.
So yeah. you're definitely getting tickets for that, aren't you?
Oh yeah. We definitely got to see that. Yeah. Yeah. We got to do some kind of interview with those guys. We got to get them on, you know, that'd be great. Yeah. Cause it's interesting. We talked to Joe, you asked Joe about playing, you know, Eddie's stuff, you know, before we had any idea of what any project would look like with him playing Eddie, and he actually did it. So, so it was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing.
It's kind of wild how, a lot of that interview has come out in other stories, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Because like Joe said, you know, I never really attempted to do Eddie because what would be the point? You know, Eddie's Eddie.
Right.
Why do I need to, you can't really improve on greatness. So what's the point?
Yeah.
I want to do my style. And, you know, and he talked about that a bit in the recent articles that have come out about this.
Yeah.
This tour. So. But one of the things out there, Dave, and I'll let you go because the Lions are playing.
Yeah, they just wrapped. They just won. They won.
I figured. I was
they just won it.
Saints are horrible.
33-28.
Oh wow! They picked. Yeah. They got three. They got three more touchdowns.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then I got to meet the family too. We're doing a little shopping.
It's but a Sunday, we missed Sammy Hagar by one day.
I know.
We basically got off the plane, drove from the airport to down to Huntington Beach, and the first place we ate and drank was Cabo Wabo.
Mm.
And the guy at the bar said, "You just missed him by one day."
Damn.
And he's never there.
Right.
He's there like once a year.
Wow.
So I was talking to several employees and asked them about him, and oh, I got to tell you this and I'm done.
Yeah.
I got a tip. I might end up going over and try to do a story on them, but there's a mastering facility and a pressing plant over in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And they're currently album they're remixing and remastering right now with the band John Bon Jovi.
They're
remixing and remastering the very first two Bon Jovi records.
Oh my God. Oh, that's huge, dude.
Which tells me because I'm not the guy to ask about Bon Jovi, but they're not my favorite band. But if they're going to be remixing and remastering old stuff, I think it's probably a good chance that that band is going to reunite. Richie's coming back.
Yeah.
And they're going to get the catalog out. They're going to get that catalog out again. So, yeah, it's right two counties over, man.
Breaking news on Rock of Nations from the Shane file. Shane broke this one.
I got a hot tip yesterday from somebody who knows the production guy, who knows the mixer. And the mixer, nice. He said, "What are you working on?" He said, "Right now we're mixing the very first two Bon Jovi records, which would be Bon Jovi and 7800 Degrees. Is that the second one?
Was it New Jersey? I got to go back. I got to go back and look.
New Jersey. The first
and I only have one. Only have one phone with me.
Yeah, the first two were. I think it was the one album with Runaway, and then I think the second one was 7800 Degrees.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Because John was on fire and his hair was getting singed.
Yeah,
I wonder if he ever recovered from that.
I don't know.
Somebody put him in an oven.
Oh jeez.
But I guess Phil X is complimentary at this point, or is he moving on to new things? I don't know.
I mean, it'd be great for him to kind of stick around. But yeah, with Richie, I mean, coming back, that would kind of take that spot, and Phil would probably do some other things. But Phil's been fantastic with them. You know, he's done a tremendous job for gosh 10 years now. I think
Phil all year 2023 has been coming on YouTube and playing Van Halen songs.
Yeah,
you know, he's on his Facebook page. Yeah, I was starting to wonder, like, is he doing this for a reason?
Yeah.
Like, is he going to be the guy with Sammy, or are they going to
switch out? Yeah, I wonder. Because Sammy said other people would come out, so it does make you wonder. Yeah.
But Joe Satriani has a busy year. He's got the Steve Vai Satch tour, and he also has got the Sammy tour. So
it's going to be awesome.
What a wild year, dude.
It's going to be great. It hasn't even started yet. It's going to be awesome.
Diamond Dave's going to be going to every show.
You too, my brother. We got to reunite with some shows. Yeah.
We got to hit some shows, man.
Yeah, man. The same shows without you, man. It hasn't been the same. We gotta do it.
I'm just glad that you got to see Kiss. And unfortunately, my clock ran out and it got in the way. There was too many other things going on at that particular time. But dag nabbit.
Yeah, but that's all right. We'll make something happen. Damn right we will. Yeah.
I'm all pumped up to see the AI Kiss, I guess.
Yeah, man. AI Kiss, yeah.
It's going to be like the Chuck E. Cheese robots with...
Yeah.
But they didn't play Flaming Youth. I mean, what the
heck? I know. Like, Live Forever, you got to play that. Oh. Yeah, Destroyer.
I thought a good ballad. Last thing, I thought a good ballad for Gene would have been the ballad he did on Psycho Circus. What's that song?
I finally found. Wait, oh, Peter sings that one. I finally found my way. What was it? Within, that was heavier. What was that song?
I should have looked it up.
I haven't finished my coffee. That's probably why, folks. I'm taking swigs at it. But that's probably why.
Yeah, I'm gonna look. And then we're done.
And the family's texting me. I'll be there in a minute.
It's Shane Blabbin.
No.
No, hang
Shane
on.
Shane is the Blabber. No.
What is the circus? I don't know. Psycho
Start
circus.
It up here.
I'm looking.
Psycho Circus. And I said,
you wanted the best
show.
Oh, it's We Are One.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't end on that.
Yeah, no. There's a Kiss video group called We Are One. It's a YouTube channel, and they have headlines and stuff like that. And
really?
They're great. They do a great job. Yeah.
Oh,
picked up some of our stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, I miss you, man. This was great.
You too, man. You're coming through the car.
Let
me turn the car off. Okay. Yeah. I get you coming through the car. Yeah, we got to do this more often for sure, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Love you, my brother.
If you are in heaven, put in a good word for me.
Yeah, I know. You got it. Yeah.
I'm gonna take a picture. You gotta see this, right? It's like,
yeah.
hang on. Oh shit. There I go. What the fuck? Hang on. I'll just go.
Hang on, wait. No, I can do it. Wait.
Oh, there it is. There you go. Hang on. Hang on, I'm getting it.
They have cars.
I got people going by. Huh?
They have cars.
There we go. That's going to go up tonight.
Yeah.
Dave reporting live from heaven.
Hey, they're playing the Bryan Adams song, Heaven.
He's trying to get a Shane McGowan interview.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Right over here, Shane, over here.
I got some
things. I got to run, but yeah, man. Yes, yes.
Have a fun night. Watch those Eagles, man.
Yes, man. Go Birds.
Where are you going to eat?
Probably Buffalo Wild Wings. Probably do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm picking out. I'm getting a new recliner. So I'm looking. I'm going to go do that and then go watch the game. So yeah.
And did I got to ask you because I forget. Did Jim McHugh, I told Jim McHugh to get in touch with you for Maiden tickets. Did you get on that?
Yeah, I got to reach out. Yeah, for next year, I'm going to reach out on that. Yeah.
Because I think he did get tickets. I don't know if he got you one or not.
Cool. I'll check. I'll check and see, man.
But that would be cool for you to come back down.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. You know,
I wasn't planning on seeing him again, but.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Awesome, dude. We got to do it, man. Oh, yeah. Love you, dude.
Love you too, man.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. And God bless you and rock and roll.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
The Rudy Sargent.
Hiya, this is Steve Hackett.
You folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph.
And we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Yeah!